Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What does original Christianity entail? Because there are so many false prophets and so many ideas of men concerning Jesus, concerning salvation, concerning how you find God, and all of this, and they missed the whole point. It's almost like a race has been set up, and all of the runners are lined up, ready to go. Bang! The gun goes off, and everybody starts to run, and 3 feet ahead of them, boom! A wall comes straight up. And everybody's disillusioned, saying, well, what's up? I thought there was a race. Oh, you don't have to run it. There's nothing for you to do. All you have to do is believe that you have run the race. Well, that's establishment Christianity today.
And all you have to do is that. Come into my life, Lord. I accept you. And I believe in you. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Ye shall be saved. So if you've done that right now, you are saved. So you should be rejoicing out there. Amen. And we should be rejoicing in here. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, John 14 will pick this up again. Here's what Jesus said to Thomas. I, Christ, am the way, no other way, not what you think, not what others tell you, but what the Word of God says, and the truth. Every word of God is true. Everything that Jesus said is truth. And the life. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. No one. See, it doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. Doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says. And God has recorded his word, so it's in the Bible, so you can know it, so we can know it, so we all can know it. That's an amazing thing. A message from God from heaven above contained in his word. And this is why you need the Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. Because many of the modern translations leave off very important truths because they put their own ideas to it. Now, let's drop down here to verse 15. Let's see what Jesus said. You've heard it many times. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you believe God. Now, that is a lie. A big lie. So let's read what Jesus said. If you love me now, God's love is not questioned. Whose love is questioned? Men and women. So Jesus said to his disciples, those who were the closest to him of all the people while he was on the earth. And he said to them, if you love me. So you see, it's not just receiving love from God coming down to us. There must be the love going back to God from us. And we'll see how that's done. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Now, that's what it means in the Greek. Now, let's stop here for just a minute and understand something about Jesus Christ. There are a lot of ideas about who he was and what he was. Was he really from God? Was he really God before he became flesh? Well, all of those questions are answered in the Bible, And even people who use the Bible avoid a lot of those things because they don't like to read them because it doesn't agree with their thoughts, and they think that their thoughts are greater than God's. Are they? Can any man have greater thoughts than God? Can any woman have any thoughts that are better than God's thoughts? Of course not. That's why God sent his word. And Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament. That's what John wrote right at the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. That's the one who became Christ. And the Word was with God. That is the Father. And the Word was God. He wasn't an angel. He wasn't an ordinary physical man. He was God. And the whole process of becoming a human being we've already covered, so we won't get sidetracked on that at this time. But it was God manifested in the flesh. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth, which comes from God. God is true, God is life, God is love, God is mercy, God is forgiveness. God also is almighty, all-powerful, and will destroy all the wicked. All of those things are true about God. Even the Spirit of the truth which the world cannot receive. Why can't they receive it? See, because God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Ha! Huh. Is that what you do? You think anyone can receive the Spirit of God without obeying him?
Hi, and welcome to Trinity United Church of Christ in Canton, Ohio. I hope you enjoy our website. My name is Reverend Andrew Taylor Peck, and I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity, and we have all the information to hopefully all of your questions that we can answer. But the best way to find out about who we are and what we're like is to come and visit us, hopefully on a Sunday morning at 9:30 for worship. We are a warm and welcoming church. One of the most important things about our church is our belief that no one is excluded from the love of God. No one is excluded from being able to worship together, no matter where they have been or what they have done. We also believe that everyone is welcome here, gay and straight, black and white, men, women, people of all ages. We believe that the kingdom of God is inclusive and that our diversity brings us together and makes us stronger.
Let's just take a little detour here to Acts, the fifth chapter, for a minute, and let's see what the apostles told the whole Sanhedrin of the Jewish community in their age. The top religious figures, those who ran the temple, those who ran the schools, those who were the leaders in the community and supposed to bring people the word of God. But they got so sinful that Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil." Huh. Right there. As the temple of God. Now, I want you to think on that for a minute. So here, the apostles are out there. They're preaching. They're healing. Many are believing. Many are being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders of the time are seeing this, and they feel threatened. What are we going to do? Look at everyone who's following them, and they're not following us. Well, they went out and arrested the apostles and put him in jail. That night while they were in jail, God sent an angel to let all 12 of them out and go and stand in the temple early in the morning. That means begin at sunrise and be teaching in the temple. So when the temple guards came to get them out of the brig to bring them before the whole Sanhedrin, they found nothing. And then someone came to them and said, "Those that you locked up, they're out there preaching. They're out there teaching at the temple." Oh, how could this be? Verse 27, Acts, the fifth chapter. And they brought them in and set them before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not order you by a direct command not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching with the purpose of bringing this man's blood upon us. Well, the blood of Christ is on every human being, not just on them, because all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So Peter and the apostles answered, verse 29, and said, we are obligated to obey God rather than men. Now think on that. Do you take that the way that it should be? Do you think you're obligated to obey God? What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Is that not obedience to God? Yes, indeed. See? So the apostles knew nothing about doing away with the law of God, knew nothing about the way of the teaching that they have today, that the law is a curse and you don't have to keep it. All you need is faith and grace. No. We're going to see your life must belong totally to God. That's why there is the watery grave burial by baptism. Peter continues, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. That's how the cross was made. They took a big tree, nice big thick heavy tree, trimmed off the branches, put iron flanges up there so the crossbar of the cross could be put in those flanges. So the cross that you see in movies is not the cross that Jesus was crucified on. They nailed his hands to the crossbar, raised him up and put the crossbar on the flanges, and then nailed his feet to where the stand was on the tree, and nailed right through the back part of his feet. Him, God has exalted by his right hand to be a prince and savior to give repentance and remission of sins to Israel. So you see, repentance comes from God, conviction of the heart and mind, that you have been wrong, that you have sinned, that you have been against God. And that can't be done away with by just repenting and shedding tears. You have to have the actions to then be baptized, and the actions then, as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, namely mine, right? All right, we'll see something else here. Now, verse 32, and we are witnesses of these things, as is also the Holy Spirit. Now, notice the Holy Spirit, which God gives to those who obey him. The question is, do you today obey God? Do you look at the Word of God as something that you need to love, to keep, to obey? Let's come back here to John 14, and let's see what Jesus said, because he was giving them these instructions on the night he was arrested, Passover night. And the Passover become very important. If you write for the book called Holidays or God's Holy Days, you'll see how important it really is. Let's come back to John 14, verse 21. The one who has my commandments. Notice what it says. Has them. Do you have a Bible? Yes. It has God's commandments in there. It has Jesus' commandments in there. You have them, right? Well, I haven't read them. Well, you better be about reading them, because eternal life depends upon it. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them. What does that say? Is keeping them. That is the one who loves me. So if you're not keeping the commandments of God, and you say you love God, you're a liar. because you're not loving God. The one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you're about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now notice that. What did he say up here? If you love me, keep my commandments, namely mine. If the one who has my commandments is keeping them, that's the one who loves me. Do you love God? Are you doing this? Huh? All right. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That means you receive the Spirit of God just like we read back there in Acts, the 5th chapter, that God, what? He gives the Spirit to those who obey him. Huh! Now, do you grasp the severity of fake Christianity, saying the laws of God have been done away? Give you an example. Look at the cities in America where they have virtually done away with the police force and enforcing law. How much crime, how much murder, how much robbery, how much thievery, how much carjacking, how many people are dying of drugs. And the government, especially here in the obscene city in California, San Francisco, where they have drug safety zones where drug addicts can come and shoot up with the approval and payment by the state of California to destroy and ruin all of those lives.
We've been told it's simply too dangerous to bring our cameras here, so we are filming on our phones.
How you doing, brother?
We immediately came across a street with so many people doing fentanyl, it was hard to get by.
Can I ask what you're smoking, sir?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
The local drug dealers had delivered the fentanyl about half an hour before we arrived. Some were openly taking it on the street, seemingly unworried about the police.
There you go. There you go.
Seeing this firsthand is pretty shocking.
He trying to make it up. There you go.
Got it, bro?
You got it, bro?
Fentanyl was developed as a pain medication. Its use as a recreational drug, though, has exploded due to its low cost. It's 100 times stronger than morphine, and even a tiny quantity can kill.
Yeah, this is like this every day. And you think it's...
There's evidence of drug use everywhere.
They go one that's been used, two, three, these are pulled out of needles.
So are you doing fentanyl like today or?
Every day.
Every day, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. What's it like living here?
Lawless. Yeah. Completely lawless. Yeah. This is anarchy.
And they think they're doing good. No, they are doing evil. Now, that's an extreme example, but it shows what I want you to understand. The commandments of God are what you are to live by. That's what Paul wrote, to walk in newness of life. And the newness is that you go from living in sin and breaking the commandments of God to obeying God and keeping his commandments. Now, let's read verse 24, because this becomes very important, and you have to make the judgment yourself on what you do and what your behavior is. Verse 24, the one who does not love me does not keep my words. Do you? What is your attitude? Notice why it's important. And here is the astonishing thing. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In other words, the great sovereign ruler of the universe. These are the words that Jesus brought. This is what he taught. That's why he is the way, the truth, and the light. And no one's going to come to the Father or receive eternal life unless there is loving God back to God. You can't come and claim the love of God to yourself so that you can be saved. God wants you to love him back. How does God want you to love him back? Have you ever thought of that? Let's come to Matthew 22. Because God is not going to come and love you unless you repent and are baptized and walk in newness of life by keeping his commandments and loving God. So here's one of the Pharisees coming. And he said to Jesus, verse 36, Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Now think about this, because what Jesus quoted here was Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. So let's read it. Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart. With all your soul. Now that means your whole being. Now this is a lot of effort, isn't it? Yes. And with all your mind. What is in your mind? Where are the commandments to be written? Just printed on paper, written on stone, engraved in metal and hung on the wall? No, they're to be written right here through the love of God. You're loved to God and God loved you. This is the first. And first in the Greek means primary, the very first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now think on that. Just think of what the world would be like. Now I gave a message one time on Perfectville, nice little community where everybody there in that community kept the Ten Commandments of God. They had the right God, first commandment. They had no idols, second commandment. They didn't take God's name in vain, third commandment. They kept the Sabbath day, fourth commandment, and the holy days. And they honored father and mother and taught their children. And there was no murder, there was no adultery, there was no stealing, there was no lying, there was no coveting. And this town was so perfect that they didn't need any policemen at all because they all policed themselves. Now, that's how God's law is to work. Now, notice verse 40. On these two commandments hang all. That means each and every part of the law. And the prophets. So that's how we are to love God. God isn't going to give love on a one-way street to you without your responding back to him. And you're loving God. Now we'll end right here. We'll go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 2. This is the standard. This is how we know. See? Because we're to love God how? With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all of our being. And our neighbor is ourself. And then we know we're to love the brethren and to love each other. Verse 2. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Do you understand what that says? Do you realize it? Aren't the commandments of God, as we read, perfect? Designed for men and women so that they can be blessed of God. They can live good and decent lives. They can be free from so many things and corruption of life by obeying God. Now let's read it here. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. That's the truth. But most people don't want it. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know the truth of God? Do you want God in your life? Well, you've got to come to God his way. And we have many things on Church at Home and manyfold more on truthofgod.org, covering many, many things about the Bible, things that the world doesn't even know, understanding of scriptures the way that they should be, truth interpreting truth, the Word of God interpreting the Word of God, and how we live, and looking at what things are in the world, and how we evaluate what we do and where we go, and what we say and how we think. And all of those things are all there on these websites. Unfortunately, the powers that be probably shadow ban us to a great deal because they don't like the message. But for you, once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.